Chapter 27, we begin. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes, and put them on your neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these things, all these lands, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field I have also given him to serve him. So all the nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them." Now, if we were to study down the road into the future, we know that Judah is going to be conquered by the Babylonians, by King Nebuchadnezzar, be handed over to his son and so forth. And this is where we find the reading and the study of the book of Daniel. Daniel is one of those who was taken captive over to Jerusalem, and along with Nehemiah and Ezra and others, and they were there. They did. We'll read what they're supposed to do, and this is why it took place in their lives as they were conquered. They were exited and taken as prisoners over there and trained in the ways of Babylon, but they would not compromise their faith. And we find that in reading Daniel, you'll find that Babylon will exist for a period of time, over 70 years, or not quite 70 years, and then will come the Medo-Persians. And the Medo-Persians will conquer the Babylonians. The Babylonians will find themselves serving the Medo-Persians. After the Medo-Persian Empire comes the Grecian Empire. After the Grecian Empire comes the Roman Empire, and so forth. The Babylonians will never reach that zenith of a great empire ever again. It's never happened. Saddam Hussein thought he was the sense of the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was trying to rebuild Babylon, and he thought that he had enough weaponry and power that he was going to conquer the Middle East and then take over the oil fields and ultimately conquer the world. Well, he ended up in a hangman's noose. We find here God says, I'm going to use Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, as my servant. And he's going to bring judgment against my people because my people will not repent of their sins. And those that do repent and those that follow my word, I will protect, I will provide, I will take care of. But it's going to be a difficult time. And those surrounding nations around you, they need to understand that they're going to be brought under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah, go ahead, you minister to these folks. My people, and I want you to minister to the other kings. And I want you to put this wooden yoke on your neck because this is what's going to happen to you guys. You're going to have the yoke of Babylon upon you, and you're going to be servants to them. It's not a pleasant message, is it? When we talk about the book of Revelation, we talk about the coming judgments of God and the great tribulation period. It's not a pleasant message, but it's the truth. And it's going to take place like everything else in Scripture has always taken place. And every pastor, every preacher must deliver the entire Word of God from the Old Testament prophets to the New Testament apostles to the book of Revelation, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must not skip one word of the Bible. Verse 6, "And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field I have also given him to serve him. So all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand." In other words, if you follow what I say, I'll make sure that I'll take care of you. Okay? You're going to be under their rulership. It's going to happen. Just follow what I say. And there's a reason for this. It's because the people won't repent unless there's going to be this disciplinary action upon their lives. It's amazing how religious our country, our nation became on 9/11. There were all the senators, all the representatives standing on the Capitol steps praying. It lasted a very short amount of time. Trying to figure out what has happened. These World Trade Towers come down. The Pentagon was attacked. The plane going down in Pennsylvania. We're under attack. And everybody began to pray. It was foxhole religion, though. It was only in the time of crisis. We don't need Christ not only in the time of crisis. We need Christ every day. You would have thought everybody would be saying Merry Christmas. But then it became, oh no, we can't say Merry Christmas. All Happy Holidays. Enough. We need Jesus Christ. We need the Christian faith to permeate our society. It's only going to happen one soul at a time, though. You can't force religion by law. There's no way. But as we pray and as we live, as we do good works, God's going to win souls. But let's be real about it. Let's be real about it. If we're going to pray, let's live. Live for Christ. Live for God. We find here, all the nations shall serve him. And then verse 8, and it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord. With the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. Now let me pause for a moment. Let me give you something that's really interesting, just came to my mind. You know, the book of Revelation, we who are taught the Word of God, who study the entire Bible, who studied the book of Revelation, we see it as a future event coming. We see the revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. We see in chapters 2 and 3 the history of the church and the present standing of the church and the future of the church. We know that we want to be Philadelphia, those that keep the word of God, that will not deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which the Lord says, I will keep that church from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. That is the great tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, it's also called, as God deals with the nation of Israel. And yet there's the church of Laodicea that's marching right along with the church of Philadelphia. And it's the compromised church. It's going to be known as the harlot church that goes into the tribulation period. It is a false church. It's a lukewarm church that makes Jesus sick, whereas he says, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. Because they will not follow the word of God. And they will worship, according to the false prophet, they will worship the Antichrist, thinking that he is the Christ. It is a false doctrine that has filtered through the church that the book of Revelation has already taken place. You know when it took place? Any idea? It's called the Preterist view. It was back in 70 A.D., they say it took place during these various Roman Caesars that persecuted the church. And they brought judgments against the church. And thus the book of Revelation is for the most part already fulfilled. Really? Now, okay, wait. Let's think about this. Are you ready? Is there any records of all the waters of the earth being polluted by a great asteroid that comes down and hits planet Earth? Are there records that two-thirds of mankind was destroyed? Are there records of these, these locusts coming out of the earth that are going forth and stinging man, whereas he can't die for 6 months. These 100-pound hailstones coming down upon planet earth, also mixed with fire. Has it been the great darkness and the removing of all vegetation off of planet earth? All the sea creatures die in the oceans? All the merchant ships destroyed? The false prophets are with us today who do not believe in the Word of God, who do not believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ, that these horrific, catastrophic events are going, these cataclysmic events are going to take place on planet Earth. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that there will be great tribulation upon the world of which it has never, ever experienced. Don't tell me it happened in 70 AD, you false prophets. There's others that declare that those things aren't going to happen, for it's just a spiritualized book. We don't need to take it literally. And we're going to actually usher in the kingdom. We're going to take over the world governmentally. We have replaced Israel, and we will usher in the kingdom as we take over the world. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, Jesus taught us that lawlessness is going to abound. He teaches about this one who's known as the Antichrist is going to rise up, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he's going to deceive the whole world through lying signs and wonders. The Bible says in the last days, the intensity of persecution is going to become greater and greater as never before. In the last century, 140 million people, believers in Christ and others, have been killed by great weaponry and armies of our world. Things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. And our ability to kill mass groups of people is more powerful than ever. And the only one that can usher in the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, not the church. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It is the Lord Jesus Christ of which it says that he will come to earth and he will reign and rule in Jerusalem. And there's a valley called Megiddo. It's known as the Battle of Armageddon, where all the armies of the world will be gathered to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ. Read Psalm 2. It says all the nations of the world will come against the Lord Jesus Christ. Either it's God's word, we're going to follow it literally, or we're not going to follow it at all. We cannot spiritualize things away. And this is why it's so vitally important for us to study the Word of God. God has given us His Word. We will not follow the false prophets. We will not follow the false teachers. We will not follow the false Christ. We will not follow the diviners and the dreamers. Don't follow all these balderdash books that are written. Follow the Word of God. Everybody's manufacturing these books with all these fanciful stories, fables. They incorporate scriptures, and Christians just jump on them and eat them up like nobody's business, as if they're sound doctrine. The only sound doctrine you and I get is from the pure Word of God, the Bible. And the only way to get that is by studying it from Genesis to Revelation, and that's why we teach it from Genesis to Revelation, of which every pastor is commanded to do. So God warns Jeremiah, for they prophesy a lie, verse 10, to you, to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, that they shall till it and dwell in it. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence? As the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. It's very important for us as Christian believers to listen to the teachings of the Word of God, not to the teachings of psychology, not the teachings of possibility thinkers, not the teachings of health and wealth preachers, money grabbers, but we listen to the pure teaching of the Bible. I teach you this Bible for one reason, to save my soul. That's why I teach you the Bible. Because if I teach you anything else, I would be lost. And you would be lost too. Paul writes to Timothy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, teach the word, Timothy, to save yourself and others. You see, the Bible declares in the last days that there'll be seducing doctrines of demons that will infiltrate the minds of preachers. And they will teach you false doctrines. And the people will love the false doctrines. In fact, the Bible says that they themselves, the people, will heap up teachers unto themselves that tickle their ears, makes them feel good about themselves, but they never preach about sin and repentance and about hell. You can be a homosexual and be a Christian. It's okay. We believe in evolution. That's fine. We can see that as part of God's creation, yes. Is that what the Bible declares? What does the Bible declare? God created the heavens and the earth in how many days? 6 days. Was it a 24-hour day? You bet it was. I'm not going to denigrate the Word of God. I'm not going to denigrate the power of God. Salvation is only found in the blood of Jesus Christ, not by joining a religious organization. You see, it is so vitally important for us to receive the Word of God and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you must be born again. You don't join a religious organization. You must be born again of the Holy Spirit. You must come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will drive you to the Word of God, to the Word of truth, because He is the Spirit of truth, and you've been saved by Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. This is what happens to a born-again Christian. We cannot and we will not follow a lie, because the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us, saying, don't go with them, don't follow them, don't follow that. That is a lie. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible. And as you begin to grow and you begin to learn, you go to a church that teaches you the Word of God, you'll also begin to know the truth and you'll recognize the counterfeit. This is the Christian life, but Jeremiah was dealing with the people. They didn't want to hear the truth. They just wanted someone to tell them, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. No, no, no. Don't listen to Jeremiah. That guy's a doomer and gloomer, man. Everything's going to be fine. It's all going to work out. No, no, it's not going to work out. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get real ugly. You see, we as Americans, we can't keep living in our sins like this and think that there's not going to be any judgment. It's coming. Always remember, the goodness of God leads to repentance. Right now, He's still offering us His goodness. Let's not take advantage of it, amen? You see, God's saying, look, guys, I'm trying to call you out before it's too late. Come out. Come out. Come out of this world. Come out of this world system. Come out of this immoralities. Get out of that party spirit, man. Get out of that immoral way. Come on. Come on. Get out. Repent of your sins. Come on. Come to me. Follow me. My righteousness, my word, let it be the lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Come on. The Word of God. And yet today, we don't even have preachers going up into the pulpits with a Bible. Now, I don't care if you use an iPad. That's fine. Just make sure you're in the Word of God. It's a little verse here, a little verse here, and then it's stories about this, that, and the other, and then they pat you on the head, and then they send you on your way. You know what? You need to come to this church. And guess what? You need to get convicted. I need to get convicted. I also need to get encouraged. And you need to get encouraged. We have sin. We have salvation. We want the Word of God to change our lives. To be honest, I know I'm a sinner. You guys fight the flesh, I fight the flesh. You fight the world, I fight the world. You fight against Satan, I fight against Satan. I need everything of the Word of God to give me strength and power and conviction and change. Because my flesh will deceive me. The world will deceive me. Satan will deceive me. And I have to stay in the Word of God. We're not here to be popular. We're here to preach the Word of God. That's the key. This is the key. Now watch. He then says, verse 15, "For I have not sent them, says the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you." Notice they propagate a lie in my name. They use his name. Today they use the name of Jesus, but they're not telling the truth. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Right there in their title, the Mormon religion. I pray for Mormons. I don't hate anybody, but I want them to come to the Bible, not to the Book of Mormon. No, you're not going to be a God on your own planet. You can never be God. There's only one God, and him only thou shalt serve. That's not going to happen. Salvation is not in the Mormon church. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. No protection underwear is going to save you and protect you. That's a superstition. That's an idol. Catholics praying to Mary is not going to save you. The Pope is not the Holy Father. He's not the voice of Christ, the vicar of Christ. Don't be praying to Mary. Don't be praying to the saints. There is no purgatory. Once a man dies or a woman dies, then comes the judgment. You're either going to heaven or going to hell. If you place faith in Jesus Christ, you're born again of the Holy Spirit, you'll go to heaven. But don't place your faith in a religious organization. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus is the pure Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And we have to declare these truths. We have to declare these truths. And sometimes people say, "Oh, you're always picking on somebody, Pastor." No, I'm not picking on them. I'm trying to get them saved. I love them. I don't want them to go to hell. And I love them enough to be rejected by them. Because I don't want to be rejected by Jesus Christ. So you have to speak the truth in love. And declare the truth. And I say it time and time again. You know why? Because I know Mormons have been saved. They've written me and told me they've gotten saved. And Jehovah's Witnesses. And Catholics. And others. And there's many Protestants that just are joining a Protestant religion, a denomination, and they're not saved. They're also in Calvary Chapel, yes. So we have to speak the truth. And he says in verse 16, "Also I spoke to the priest and to all this people, saying, Thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city be laid waste? But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the carts, concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take, when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. The elements that he's talking about there at the temple, they were taken away in 586 BC as they conquered Jerusalem, the Babylonians did. They were ultimately returned to Jerusalem in 536 BC, and we read about that in the book of Ezra, chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. They were replaced in the temple as the temple was rebuilt in 515 BC, again, according to Ezra, chapter 6, verse 15. So that's future, so the word of the Lord was once again fulfilled. God had already spoken to Jeremiah, said that the nation of Israel goes 70 years in captivity over there in the land of Babylon. And then when the Medo-Persians conquer, then they're going to be allowed to come back to the land once again. And it was a judgment of God because they did not let the land rest as it was supposed to rest. And God said, rest. And God says, now I'm booting you out. Plus all their other immoralities, all the things they did. But this put a time frame on everything for them. God says, I told you what you were to do, and you've completely disobeyed my word. Chapter 28, battling prophets. This guy Hananiah is going to give a false prophecy. Listen to how it goes. And it happened in the same year at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. So this is Hananiah speaking. Within two full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to the place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah, who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Why is Jeremiah saying amen? Listen to how this goes. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words, which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who are carried away captive from Babylon to this place. He's actually being sarcastic and mocking him. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of all of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms, of war and disaster and pestilence. And as for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck. He was wearing the wooden yoke, standing there as an example before the people. Jeremiah's neck and broke it. This is what Hananiah did. He broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Jeremiah had already said the Lord has spoken. It's going to be 70 years captivity. He already spoke it. And this guy Hananiah said, oh no, it's just 2 years. We'll get all the vessels back. Everything's going to be fine. There's going to be no yoke on us. Everything's going to be cool. And Jeremiah goes, and all the people are receiving it. They're rejecting Jeremiah. So Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, The Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. You make these people trust in a lie. How many lies have been perpetrated throughout the church, and the preachers and the pastors agree with the lies that are being spoken because they reject the Word of God. Oh, so many people watch so many guys on television do all their antics and all their things, and it's completely the opposite of who Jesus is, what the Scriptures declare. All these money-grabbing preachers on television, you would think all of Christianity is about greed and covetousness and wealth, when in reality, it's all about Jesus Christ, repentance, and living the right life before God. Being changed into the image of God, the character of God. But you would think it's all about gaining the riches of this world. It is sickening. It is sickening. And all of those preachers need to turn and get on their faces and pray and repent of their sins. They have so misrepresented God. And yet the people say, this must be Christianity. To even declare that we are little gods? Have you lost your mind, preachers? To say that we're a little God, that you can speak things into existence? Liars. Liars. We are sinners, saved by the grace and the mercy of God. And we are so far from becoming a God. Liars. It is sickening to hear them declare such garbage. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is sovereign. We cannot manipulate Him. We cannot confess. We pray, and may the Lord's will be done. Right in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. They are sickening to represent the Christian faith that way. It is disgusting. And no matter the Lord says, you make me sick, and I want to vomit you out of my mouth. To preach that the work of the Holy Spirit is making people drunk in the Spirit, how that is filtered through the church throughout the years, to teach slaying in the Spirit as if God wants to knock you down and hurt you. My Bible declares that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, not to be out of control. The pagans practice these things in their religious practices. This is not the Word of God. This is the emotions of man and his manipulations. And he's delivering these messages for his own glory. The Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ a drunkard? Was he staggering around and falling down? Never. Why did so many preachers on TBN and other places embrace the doctrine of this Rodney Howard Brown for years, this laughing in the Spirit movement, this Joel's bartender movement, this drunkenness in the Spirit movement? When the job of the Holy Spirit is to teach us to imitate the life, the holiness of Christ, not the sinful ways of a drunkard. Repent and return to the Word of God. You see, this is just every wind of doctrine, the Bible says, will fly through the church, seducing doctrines of demons. It's demonic. And this is tragic. We are filled with Hananias in the church today. Bethel Church, saying there's gold dust coming upon the people, having them do fire dances and jump through fiery hoops. You're disgusting. That is not the Word of God. God does not create a circus. in the church. The church is not a place for circus activities. We're just full of so much junk, from the Toronto Blessings to the Brownsville Revival to the false Kansas City prophets who say they're the apostles of the last days. You're no apostle. You're not the prophets of the last days. Get out. We have the full word of God, and that's all I need. You see, it's time to stand up and say, enough of your foolishness. Enough of your control. Enough of your hierarchies. Enough of your tyranny over the body of Christ. Enough. You're nothing but Hananias. And you're in it for your own glory and for your own greed and for your own titles. We are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not about money. It's about ministry. Ministering the word of God and blessing and helping one another. And if I think Christianity is anything else, I've got the wrong concept. It's all about the glory of God. Let me wrap up. We find ourselves, as for the prophet, verse 9, as for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one of whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke and broke it. I've read that already. Go to verse 12. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their places yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. He actually dies 2 months later. We don't want to be false prophets. We don't want to be false teachers. We don't want to lead people into a false gospel. Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians Chapter 11, he says, look, they're going to come to you with a different Jesus, with a different spirit, and with a different gospel. But they'll use the name of Jesus Christ, they'll call it the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they'll say it's the Holy Spirit, but it's not true. In that same chapter, Paul even says, you Corinthians, you're going to allow people to hit you in the face and say that that's a work of God. What do you see happening today? People hitting people in the head and saying, be slain in the spirit. My Jesus slays nobody unless it's judgment. My Jesus, your Jesus, raises people up. He raises us up from our deadness and trespasses and sins, and he raises us up to walk with him. You see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Not by some crazy emotional experience that we think somebody's got to come up and whack us in the head. Ask yourself this question, very simply. Did Jesus go around whacking people in the head to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No, we don't see any example of that. So why are preachers doing this? Because some nutcase started this as a teaching that this is how you get the Holy Spirit. And it's far from the truth. You see, we ask ourselves the next question. Was this practiced in the book of Acts? Did the apostles run around whacking people in the head and telling them to be filled with the Holy Spirit and knocking them people down on the ground? You find nothing. Why are we doing this in the church? When you look at the book of Acts, it's the actions of the Holy Spirit upon the believer's life or the actions of the early church to set a foundation, a blueprint for the church into the future. Are we given any instructions in the epistles regarding this slain in the Spirit? From the book of Romans to the book of Revelation, zero. Other than Paul warns us, don't let people smack you in the head, you Corinthians. So why is this going on in the body of Christ? Because we have too many men that are in the pulpits that are not of the Word of God. And they're about the show. They're about the emotion. They're about the manipulation. Because that's what they think is the only way to keep the people. And the people perish for their lack of what? Because they don't know the Word of God. Now look, folks, so you understand, I am into all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gift of miracles, gift of faith, gifts of healings, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I'm into all of it. I have the gift of tongues. But Paul says, look, the gift of tongues is to edify yourself. I'd rather speak five words in, if we will, English that people would understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, as I can gather with believers. He says this gift is to edify yourself. So we take what God's given us, and we always make sure we do everything according to the Word of God. And the other thing I would say is this, and I was asked this question at a pastor's conference a few weeks ago. What do you think about the gifts of the Spirit and their operation in the church? I said, I think they need to be operating out in the public. Why? Because that's what we see in the book of Acts. The gifts were operating in the public. In other words, they went to the gate called Beautiful. There was a lame man at the gate. And so Peter says, he's begging for money. Silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. We don't need to set up an arena and a circus environment and say, all you people come and we'll collect your money and we'll have our miracle healing service right here. No, if we're walking in the street, we're speaking to people, if you're in a business situation, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your knowledge. I need that gift. I need it to operate in me right now. I need to have discernment. This person is acting weird. Are they drug addicted? Are they demon possessed? Are they psychotic? Lord, speak to me. We need to get out of the cocoon of the church and take the gifts and all that God gives us through the Word of God into the public arena like the apostles did. Amen? Does that make sense, folks? Am I making sense? Okay, I'm just like, what do we read in the Bible? How does this all operate? How does it all work? But we've got these circus environments coming for the glory of man instead of the glory of God. So a man can put his name in lights, he can collect all the money, buy his Lear jets, and fly around the nation and say how great he is. Enough already. Enough. Let's love Jesus, amen? Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we look to these two chapters, and we see that Jeremiah was between a rock and a hard spot. The religious leaders were against him. The political leaders were against him. The people were not listening to him. And so, Lord God, may you just help us to learn these examples that in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You have overcome this world. There'll be trials from without and trials from within. We pray that we would always be a people like the Awana program, that we would study the Word of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Learning, growing, desiring to learn, desiring to grow, to be used in your kingdom. Father, may you anoint every heart here tonight. Nobody needs me to whack them in the head. I don't want to whack any of you in the head. We cry out to you, Lord. We believe in you, Jesus. We trust in your word. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. And may we live according to your will, which is according to your word. To love one another, to love you, to honor you, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. This is what the Lord requires of thee. So, Father, may you anoint us and guide us together. Now, if you're here tonight, you've never been saved, or you need to return to the Lord, right now is your night. Do you need to get saved? Raise your hand. Anybody here not saved, you need to get saved. Anybody here? Father, guide us this week. Bless this week, Lord, as we go to work, we go to school, take care of the kids, whatever's going on, Lord. Guide us. May it be a beautiful work, a week in you. May we just love one another. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.